4:37 on this Monday afternoon. When you're having fun, time does indeed fly. That is the cliche, and I ain't got nothing better, so I'll go with that. It is 4:37 on a Monday on the Mike McFeely Show, and that means that it is time to go to our favorite regular guest in this program, somebody who has negotiated a very spendy, expensive contract with the Mike McFeely Show to ensure his appearances every Monday, or maybe not so much. His name is Clay Jenkinson, and he joined us right now on the Mike McFeely Show. Hello, Clay Jenkinson.
I'll tell you what the contract is, Mike. I get 2 pieces of walleye per year, and that's my pay.
There were 6 pieces and not 1 piece less than that.
And, so, you know, it was outstanding. But I still think that's a pretty cheap way to get a guest.
Oh, you're going to say to get a highly intelligent, thoughtful, you're going
to
go down the whole road,
aren't you? The words wouldn't come out of my mouth because my conscience got in the way of that kind of idiocy. I wanted to make the case for myself, but then truth got in the way.
You can never make it in talk radio, Clay, because you have to be able to talk about yourself in an overindulgent, loud manner. So.
Oh, boy. You know, I mean, we're all capable of it, obviously, and I get the form that you're in, but on any given day, I think, what do I know about anything?
A lot more than most people, including the regular host of this program.
Oh, please. Here we go. But anyway, how are you? It's a blustery but sunny day in western North Dakota.
It is cold. It is windy. It is January in North Dakota and Minnesota, and we wouldn't expect anything different. So I'm just kind of rolling with the punches. By the way, you were at some other highfalutin, fancy, academic-type egghead thing out west, weren't you? No offense to you, of course.
I was in the Central Valley of California, which was Visalia near Fresno and Clovis. It's the least pointy-headed place in America. It makes North Dakota look like Harvard. I loved it, by the way, but I was there performing with the Visalia Symphony, a piece that Chris Brubeck, the great son of Dave Brubeck, did on Theodore Roosevelt. And then I gave a Steinbeck performance, and here's the funny thing. Steinbeck is one of my characters, so I gave this performance for about 600 people. The next day, someone said, oh, you need to go to this bookstore in this little village, which is 20 miles away, right in the heart of Steinbeck country. So I went there, and the owner was like a guy in his 60s. And I said, I'm here to, because I've heard you know something about John Steinbeck. And he said, and I quote, that Steinbeck is not welcome here. They're still pissed since 1939.
Well, at least they don't hold a grudge in Visalia, California.
He publishes The Grapes of Wrath, and they're still unhappy with him.
I was going to say, John Steinbeck, didn't he write Green Eggs and Ham, or is that something else that, that
but, I mean,
he wrote?
Imagine this. It's like, well, A, he was right, and B, it's an American classic, and C, it was 1939. Get over it.
At least the good people of Sauk Center, Minnesota, had the good sense. Now, they were mad at Sinclair Lewis for a long time in Sauk Center because he sort of made fun of small town life and the politics and the, you know, hypocrisy and all the little secrets of a small town. But at least Sauk Center had the good sense to embrace Sinclair Lewis once they figured out that the rest of the world didn't hate Sauk Center and didn't necessarily equate it to Gopher Prairie.
Well, the great thing about that is that Sauk Center, to which I've been many times, thus proved that he was right. He was writing about the crass commercialism and the idiocy and how a town will sell itself for a mess of pottage and how they'll swallow any insult as long as there's profit in it. And they hated him until they realized, oh, there's profit in it. And so then they turned themselves into tourist Sauk Center, just as Monterey, who hated Steinbeck for the things he wrote in Cannery Row, suddenly discovered, wait a minute, he can bring in millions of dollars of tourism money, and suddenly he was their hero.
Funny how that works. Too bad Strasburg, North Dakota won't do that same thing.
Here
with
we
Lawrence
are back on
now,
Lawrence
now,
Welk.
Well,
you know, I got more sweet mail for writing a defense of Lawrence Welk, and including from his daughters. I mean, people out of the blue have been telling me that they hate McFeely, they hate me, they hate our liberalism, they hate our leftist, Marxist, communist view of life. But at least I, unlike you, like Lawrence Welk.
Wait a second. I went to bat for Lawrence Welk originally on this thing.
I know. You and I agree as usual.
I'm no Kelly Schmidt. I'm not ripping Lawrence Welk. Oh, I know she is. Good for her.
And you know what? But people have literally said, you and McFeely belong in a gulag. And when you're there, I hope they play Lawrence Welk 24 hours a day. I thought that was mean.
I think it kind of is, by the way. By the, if you don't know what Clay is specifically talking about, he wrote a piece, as we call it in the business, for the Sunday Bismarck Tribune, which lays out why he thinks that North Dakota should spend a couple of pennies to save the heritage that is the Lawrence Welk home in rural Strasburg, North Dakota. And I think if I read, I didn't read it, you know, wasn't honed in on for 3 hours, Clay, but I read over it very quickly yesterday. The point of your thesis was, who the heck do we think we are in North Dakota? Have we suddenly become too sophisticated and too big for Lawrence Welk?
So exactly. And you folks in Fargo, of course, are the worst. You know, 500,000 people going to hear Pink when she's pretending to be Cirque du Soleil. Or, you know, hanging 2,000 bras on a building downtown and thinking that somehow you're sophisticates. That's what went wrong.
But we're not big enough that we can't figure out that if there's 20,000 women in one place drinking beer for 8 straight hours, we need to have extra bathrooms for them.
Exactly.
So we make them stand in line for 2 hours.
I thought in the little piece that I wrote, which was, by the way, inspired by you, but the little piece that I wrote on Lawrence Welk, I thought the most interesting thing, sort of when you write, things just kind of happen that you never expected, is that I made this defense of the accordion. And I said, you know, out there where there was no electricity, and, you know, you're going to do a gig in the nearby farm or village or barn, an accordion was a perfect frontier instrument because it doesn't require power, and yet it has the real beauty of a piano or an organ. And so all of my life, I've had a kind of semi-sneer in my mouth about accordions, and suddenly as I was writing it, I thought, you know what? An accordion made beauty on the Great Plains. We should be nicer about the accordion.
I prefer the term squeeze box, by the way. That's much more...
I usually use that for women.
If you have a 12-year-old daughter like I do who plays the violin in her orchestra...
That's snooty.
Well, no, you need to call it the fiddle. And then
that gets her going
100 miles an hour, yeah.
The accordion, think of it. I mean, literally, at a time when North Dakota was just a raw, empty, lonely, windswept, know-nothing state, I mean, more or less what we now are, the accordion was a miracle.
Oh, yes. I can see why you get in trouble
on
occasion.
To have fun. You know, my chance every week to have fun, because I know that however awful I am, I'll be regarded to the right of you.
I'll be more awful.
Yeah, that's perfect.
Very funny, quick story that I have to share. And I once did a job interview in Brainerd, Minnesota, at the Brainerd Daily Dispatch. I was at the Forum at the time. And I went out to Brainerd thinking, I might want to live out in Lakes Country. And I took my lovely bride, Michelle, with me on this trip. And we interviewed for this job. And this was before Emma had come into this world. And the editor at the Brainerd Daily Dispatch knew of my work and knew that I like to kind of stick the needle sometimes into powerful people and kind of not afraid to stir the pot, not afraid to let people know who I am. And he kept going on and on how I could be that guy in Brainerd and I could be that guy to stir the pot. And boy, this city council needs somebody to get under their skin. And this college president here, he really needs, and he kept going on and on. I finally said, you know, maybe I want to go to Brainerd and just kind of become that lovable curmudgeon guy. Maybe I want to be the guy who everybody likes.
And he kind of went. College in Brainerd?
And, well, yeah, it's a state tech school type of
wow,
thing, junior college.
Cool.
And he kind of went, yeah. And he just went on with the interview. And when the interview ended, my wife and I were driving back home, and it was kind of quiet. And I kind of brought up the idea of me being the lovable curmudgeon at the Brainerd Daily Dispatch. And my wife looked at me softly, as only she can. She put her hand on my knee in our S10 pickup at the time, and she said, Mike, that's not you. That's not
Which
who you're
part,
ever
lovable or curmudgeon.
Both. You yeah. said you're just never going to be that guy. That's
you
not.
Know, I do
that,
think
that's
you
that's
have
not
a little
why you were put on this earth.
Obviously, you're lovable. I mean, you wouldn't be as popular as you are. You know, you're speaking relatively left of center thoughts in a state that is as right and red as a state can be, and yet you're still highly regarded and popular because of your humor and your self-depreciating style. And I think that curmudgeon thing you do works out for you. Plus, that I mean, the obsession with Devil's Lake, I mean, that alone makes you a hero.
Thanks for throwing that in. I appreciate it. Let's take a break. I'm going to have you come back. I'm going to ask you, Kelly Schmidt, the state tourism director and a member of the state historical board, had a piece in the Forum, the state's largest newspaper. Clay Jenkinson, name that tune.
I Want to Hold Your Hand.
No! It's Squeeze Box by The Who, my friend. Come on, man.
I'm pretty much a moron when it comes to this stuff.
Okay.
I remember Crosby, Stills, Nash, and Young.
And you remember nothing else from the
That's
60s?
Pretty much
so,
it.
So
and,
what does that say about the time you spent in the 1960s?
Abbey Road. I mean, not to get too serious about this, but I regard my awakening into early adulthood from lying on the floor of my parents' living room, a room nobody ever went into, and listening to our console record player that was the size of a Volkswagen when Abbey Road came out, and for the first time in my life thinking, it's not sex that was on my mind. It was more, there's an eroticism to rock music when you're an adolescent that kind of takes you into a zone you didn't quite see coming. Or am I just making no sense here?
I'm still hung up that you used the word eroticism on the Mike McFeely show. I'm stunned.
Well, look,
I pick myself
Devil's
up
Lake
off the
or
floor.
Eroticism. I'll let the listener decide.
Walleyes on Devil's Lake are eroticism, my friend. That's a
That's
whole.
That's for you. I mean, you. But you know, you are. I should send you Thoreau's Walden because he has many beautiful passages about. And I saw your dumb picture on Facebook of you with some kid that you had to pay from your neighborhood to go fish with you.
Wow. Look at the cheap shots coming from you today.
I mean, there's a picture of this measly little tent you're in. And you got some kid. He obviously had to buy his entire stock of Boy Scout cookies or something to get him to go with you. Two guys in a tent on a piece of ice.
Take out your dislike on Kelly Schmidt, our state tourism director,
who's
totally against. In 1 minute, let fly at the state tourism director who's against paying for tourist attractions in our state, Clay.
I'm a friend of Kelly Schmidt. I respect Kelly Schmidt. I understand why there are people who would think this is nonsense. 100 people per year go there now. If 100 people go to the Welk Farm now, Mike, imagine in 2040 or 2070. There are very few people left who have a strong feeling about Lawrence Welk. So I can understand the skepticism. But I think what it misses is that this is the heritage of this place. Imagine young Lawrence Welk somehow convincing his father to buy a $400 mail order accordion for him and agreeing to work for like 8 years on the farm to pay it off. And coming from that incredibly bleak, hardscrabble land down there, and having a dream of being a major musician, and then fulfilling that dream, and then never forgetting where he came from. If that's not the American dream story, and in particular the North Dakota American dream story, I don't know what is. And if we can't celebrate that, you know, we're going to have a giant arena in the new Heritage Center in praise of oil, and it will be a flattering,
yep,
obsequious praise of oil that will be virtually an advertisement for the oil industry.
I am more offended. You're exactly right with everything you say, but I'm more offended that the state tourism director has been writing letters to the editor and appearing on TV and radio sounding like the Tea Party Manifesto. We don't care about the political side of it, Kelly. We don't care about that you stand up for taxpayers. We don't care about that. You're the state tourism director. You should be standing up for historical sites in the state, regardless of whether you're a Lawrence Welk fan, and regardless of anything. Unless, of course, she's running for higher public office, and this is her way to get out her manifesto and get out her conservative bona fides and let everybody know she's a Republican, even though we all know she's a Republican. It had me all bent out of shape.
I'll just say this. The only thing worse than having those opinions is then defending them with letters to the editor.
Huh?
You know, once you've said that, shut up. But then to defend yourself and explain why you don't want to honor Lawrence Welk is worse than the original offense.
I got you. Got to run, Clay. Thank
Bye.
You very much.
Bye-bye.
You bet. Sandy Butweiler next on Live at 5. Sandy, I'm sorry. We're up against